Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Hey, congratulations, man. Awesome win. Hey. Talked about it, man, playing complimentary football. Everybody relying on each other. Each phase, special teams, defense, offense, when we needed it most. Defense, you get a stop. Rob, you get the return. And then with the 59 yard. Walk off. Emmy. Hey, Texans all-time leading score. Awesome job, man. Hey, we talked about getting better. We got better this week, all right? We stepped up and made plays when we needed to make plays. Everybody executed. That's what it looked like, boys. Hey, let's keep going. Let's keep getting better. Let's keep grinding. Let's go, baby.
Hey, y'all know how much that meant to me. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. But the biggest thing, we got to get back to work, man. That was a hell of a win, but we got to get back to the grind on the next week, man. Love y'all, boys, man. Texas on three. 1, 2, 3. Texas.
Chill bumps, boys. Those were some good times. It's hard. I don't miss the game. I'll be honest with you. Don't miss the game. Not sure I ever loved it enough. But boy, I missed them moments right there, boy. It ain't nothing like winning, man.
Get back in there.
Oh, it ain't nothing like winning, man. And doing it with your boys, man. Doing it with the fellas. I mean, it's just, woo. There's just something about it.
The
by the way,
pointed up.
That's right. That's right, Cal. You damn right it is. By the way, who do you think that was that spoke right there at the end?
Diggs.
Oh, that was Diggs.
I've been racking
my brain since I heard. I thought it was Aziz because he sounds like he's a little stopped up or something. I'm thinking Aziz was sick. I really thought if that's Kaimi Fairbairn, if that's what
there is no way in God's green earth.
Well, when he sat down, and spoke with us when he spoke with us in the post game last night, I was like.
It's cold switching
that's what I'm saying. When he sat down and spoke with us last night, and he was real prim and proper, you know, real kind of soft spoken, and then I heard that, and I was like, because he gives him the game ball, so I'm thinking, he says, I appreciate that. I'm like, damn, you mean to tell me Kaimi changes in the locker room like that?
Well, you heard the emotion, right? I think Stephon was just emotional squad, you know,
That makes sense. I'll be transparent. Since I heard that audio earlier on my way in, I've been racking my brain. Who the hell was that spoke at the end?
And who were your top three of who you thought it was?
Aziz is a good guess.
Aziz was it because he sounds like he's stopped up, and I'd already heard the bit about Aziz being sick, so I just thought it was.
I can hear that.
Why would Aziz be thinking? Why would Kaimi Fairbairn get a game ball and Aziz be thanking people?
I don't know how you got around to Fairbairn.
Because he right before that in the audio.
But you heard it. That's just like none of us got around to thinking that was you or not Alfred.
Well, I had never. Great point. I had never spoke to Kaimi until last night. Anyway, good call. Good pull. I guess you just figured that from the jump. I still didn't know. I never got to Stephon Diggs.
I've had breakfast with him. Behind me.
I tell you what. Speaking of that audio, though, I mean, D'Amico, you're talking about relying on each other. They're making their damn point, ain't they? They really driving this point home about
needed all the faces
winning when it's ugly, depending on each other, having each other's back. Boy, they are really pushing them damn narratives. That's for damn sure. All right, would you rather the Texans win a big football game? Any way you slice it, they're sitting at 4-1. They are one of the best teams in the AFC right now. I firmly believe it's a legit conversation. I know a lot of y'all out there believed it before. I needed some proof. I needed to see them up against the other better teams in the AFC, and that was one of them. So I'm there. But would you rather, Ron? Would you rather be 4-1 with a ton of room to improve, just like the Texans are right now? That's who they are. 4-1. Have not seen their best football yet. They've had to do a lot of that. Boy, you got your brother's back because other people aren't bringing their A game. The defense has to pick it up. The defense doesn't bring their A game. The run game picks it up. The run game, no show. C.J. Stroud last week against Jacksonville had to put the team on his shoulders late and go win it. Kaimi Fairbairn in the defense this week. A ton of room to improve. Penalties have been a major issue. A ton of room to improve with this football team. Are you comfortable with it? Are you good with it? Or would you rather your team be 4-1 playing what you believe is the best football that they can possibly play in October and hoping that it lasts 17, 18 weeks and into the playoffs. Would you rather, Ron, which side you stand on?
Well, 4-1 is great. So
Either way, you're 4-1.
I love the ability to be 4-1 either way. But I think, yeah, I mean, you would love to be 4-1 and then still over the course of months continue to improve and hopefully hit your peak at the later part of the season.
Isn't that like typically that's one of those things for me that's almost like coach speak, like, come on, man, get the hell out of here. But if you look at this football team, there is at least I hope there is. I hope this isn't a quote unquote sophomore slump for CJ, if you want to call it that. I hope this isn't one of those deals where boy, the run game is really just non-existent. I hope this isn't a deal where this is an undisciplined football team and the penalties are just going to be a problem nonstop. I hope it's not a problem with this defense, although coming off on the heels of this game, it's hard to remember, but there have been some unbelievably explosive plays on this defense. Like, I hope that's not just what we see for 18 weeks. It sure seems like the room to improve, which is typically coach speak, it sure seems to be like legit and real with this football team.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of spots. I mean, you've got some injuries from that, you know, just immediately allow you to improve, you would think.
Christian guys
Harris,
back, yeah.
You know, and Titus Howard, who just missed this last game. Damian Pearson and Joe Mixon, who have missed the last 3 and 4 games, both of them. But, again, you still have young guys that were either here last year or just got here this year or, hell, even here 2 years ago that you can see can take more steps. Like, crazy. I don't think Nico's done taking steps. I don't think, obviously, Kamari Lassiter is still going to take steps. Christian Harris, who hasn't played yet, I think there's a step for him to take. So there's a lot of guys. Kenyon Green has more. You would think, yes, Kenyon Green will be a lot better player. Juice Scruggs will be a lot better player in December than they are right now. So we said this before in training camp. Of all of the contenders, I think the Texans have an argument to say we have the actual most growth, ability to grow the most on our roster, yeah, because we've got a lot of first, second, and third year guys, yeah, and even guys like C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins who look like they're at the top of their positions,
Nico towards the top of their position, fire,
still have areas to grow.
There was a ton of room for growth coming into the season, and then how they've played has given you even more room to improve. Tyler, what about you? Room to 4-1 with room to improve, or 4-1 playing your best football?
I think I would go here with the 4-1 room to improve, just simply in my mind, based off the fact that you want your squad synced up and feeling it the best as you're getting to those playoffs. I mean, we just saw what happened with the Houston Astros. No, it's a different sport, cross-sport comparison, but they were not playing the best baseball we saw the Astros play this season at the end of the regular season, and then they ultimately get swept in 2 games out of October baseball. So whether it's college football you're talking about, it's always better to be in sync, be hot, be having all your ducks in a row towards that back end of the season, because all that matters at the end of the day is championships, and that's what I want.
That's easy. I'm riding with you. I'm riding with you guys. I know it's surprise, surprise. I would ride with you guys with the ton of room to improve. The only pause I have is I would rather the Texans not be struggling as mightily as they have for as long as they have. Five weeks of some of the same issues concern me, of like, how high is the bar? How like with this run game, how
well, there is a wonder, is there as much room to improve as we think there, yeah, is, or is this them?
Yeah, that's I mean, I agree. You made a great point with the injuries and stuff of like, no doubt this football team's significantly better when you get Titus and Christian Harris and you know, now Nico, and obviously those guys coming back.
Joe Mixon.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're going to, I mean, just infuse the roster with some great talent, not good talent, but great talent. But yeah, I think when you talk about 4-1 playing your best ball, we've seen a couple of teams that came out of the chutes really, really hot, really, really sexy. The Saints, one of them that play tonight, that you just know, you're sitting there watching, you're like, there ain't no way this is going to last.
Just asleep at
night. There's just no way this is going to last. You can't play this caliber football for 18 weeks. And so whether your team is just kind of a slow starter or they've been really, really bad in some layers of football, like the Texans' penalties and the run game, either way it goes, I think the 4-1 with a lot of room to grow is really sexy. It may, especially when it's as obvious as it is with the Texans, where because as a coach you worry, like, are these guys going to feel themselves at 4-1 and not take the right approach throughout the week? This group, there's plenty of evidence for this group to watch the film and go, nah, we can't sleep in. We've got to get there. We got to do work.
Now, to the point you're making, we are, I'd say, a few weeks, 3 or 4 weeks away from potentially having to accept that the amount of growth that could be possible if they continue to do kind of have some of the same deficiencies.
Yeah.
We'll have to start to look at, oh, saying, I'm there, is it growth? Or is this what, this is just what they are going to be?
Ron, I'm there. I'm going to tell you, I'm there. I'll go back to the run game with this. I know some of the listeners out there probably heard me talking about it last week. Ron was under the knife. I'm there with the run game, Ron.
You think this is them?
Well, I don't know. You probably didn't hear it last week, but Bobby had a quote, and I was my football horny clip of the week, because I mean, Bobby, it was good stuff. It was good audio from Bobby. He said, "Hey, look, you know, we're running out of time," and he said it. He flat out said it. We're running out of time, and I understand that in order to see if this year the 2024 Texans can run the football, you can't try for one game or two games and go up. It's not going to work. We're going to scrap it. I understand that you got to put some film up to see if you can or you can't. I understand that, but. You know, Bobby went back to, and he asked a really good question, he was answering a really good question of y'all keep talking about how close you are. What exactly is that, and what do you got to do to get beyond it? I'm just over the close talk, man. Like, to me, at this point in time with this football team, and I know Joe Mixon's a difference maker, but just talking about the offensive line, it appears to me like they are significantly better running the football downhill inside, where those three interior offensive linemen can move people, than they are expecting the tight ends to get the edge, these tackles to be physical on the edge, and those three interior linemen to stretch and dance all the way to the sideline in this outside zone scheme. I just, like, if you don't have that figured out by now, then damn it, we got some big time questions that we've got to answer. So I'm glad there's room to improve. I think there's a ton of room, and I think they will improve. But damn it, I'm tired of the we're close. I'm tired of the, you know, 4 weeks to 6 weeks. You're learning your identity. You're finding out who you are. No, man, we're finna get in the meat of this thing. You got to figure out who the hell you are and make some adjustments.
It's close. I still want to see when they have their top backs.
I think because the one
game where we saw them do everything that you're thinking that they could do was with Joe Mixon,
yeah,
and even Damian Pierce had, you know, I think a surprisingly pretty good game in that match, you know, in his little three carries. So I before I hold out hope, I do want to see what they look like with Joe Mixon being there. But I think there is a fair point to thinking they're not going to become more physical on the edges.
Come on, man.
And that, you know, some of these guys, we've kind of seen this,
yeah,
from them.
Hey, on another note, real quick, boys, can we tip our cap to Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans for the insurance policy that they purchased at cut date?
Bobby
Trees.
Is that what they did? Is that what it is? Insurance?
That's what there's no doubt. $7 million insurance policy, man. Tank Dell went down, and he's a guy you can plug in there. And I know he didn't have any monster games or anything, but he's definitely a guy you plug in there. He's got good chemistry with your quarterback. He's going to be where he's supposed to be. Can play any position in the huddle, essentially. And then this week, I don't know what the hell he was doing fair catching that damn punt inside the 5-yard line. Now we got to check on that.
that got away.
But the insurance policy to demote Sims after a rough week last week, and then plug in Robert Woods, and for Robert Woods to then go out there and make have the best return of his career. Now, I don't know how much punt returning Robert Woods has done over the years. I don't know. It could be a lot. Maybe not. But he had his best punt return of his career in a moment where the Texans simply had to have it. They didn't have time to run but one play. They had to have Robert Woods, and to have a sure-handed guy that you could trust to catch that thing with his momentum coming downhill, and then you could trust him to tote it, carry it, and not fumble it, not turn it over, not make poor decisions, not chew up too much of the clock. I mean, it was that $7 million insurance policy has paid off twice at this point through 5 weeks in the season. That's bared fruit, my man.
Well, and he had another return, right? I didn't know he could get up, up and down like that
early in the game,
on
early
the sideline. Yeah. Another return. Yeah, he had that ridiculous play where he lost his mind catching it.
That return got some of it got called back or something, didn't it?
I can't remember. But whether it got called
maybe
back.
Maybe D'Amico
or not,
was talking about that one when he said the longest return of his career.
I didn't know he still had that in him. He was coming up the sideline, and then it was everything there, Clint. It was, all right, I know I need to get straight up field and I got to get down. And he left you enough time to be able to run another play. To be able to get an additional 5 more yards. There were 7 seconds. That gave you enough time to run another play. There's a lot of things. He could have fair caught it. But that was smart. He handled that. He caught it, Clint, and took off.
Yep.
Immediately forward and got down and got as much as he could. So
$7 million insurance policy. That's a good insurance.
So good for him. All right.
That adjuster didn't screw him.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it on the text line. Can we address maybe potentially Bobby Slowick improving on calling plays? I felt like the offense with yesterday's performance in that second half felt like Bobby Slowick has been wearing it a lot for it, and I believe he does have blame at his feet, but it's happening, Bobby, and it's been happening. He is the fall guy. I think the criticism is a little strong with Bobby Slowick. We'll discuss that coming up.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I think it's very fair when I see folks having issues with the offense, in especially the last couple of second halves. The third quarters, the last two games, Clint, have been rough offensively. A lot of three and outs, a lot of non-scoring drives.
It was awful this week on both sides.
Both sides of the ball.
And special teams, for being honest, catching balls inside the damn 38-yard punt and then catching balls inside the 5-yard line.
Yeah, but offensively especially, there's been some struggles in the second half. Where they have 6 in the second half?
Yep.
Including in the third quarter, 3 in the...
I think they were all in the third quarter.
No, well, they had the one of the buzzer. So, I mean, because they were up 17-3 at the half, right? So, yeah, and they end up winning 23-20.
Oh, no, I was talking about penalties. I'm sorry.
They had 0 penalties in the first half and then banged out a good 7.
Yeah.
But points, 6 points total in the second half. And, listen, I think Bobby Slowick, I think C.J. Stroud, I think the offensive line, I think the staff, I think a lot of people have a cause of blame. And I think a lot of it, I would even argue – That CJ and Slowick I put a little bit more on Slowick because obviously he's running the thing, but then I think CJ's right behind him because he's on the field making the decisions, and he, as we all know, you know, he can get out of plays if he wants to. We've watched him get out of plays. He can get out of plays if he wants to and change plays, but it does feel like a lot of people in the fan base are pushing, because I've seen it. I'm looking at it up and down the text line about Bobby Slowick and how bad he is, and I saw that a lot after the game. And as I've said before, I think he deserves obviously his criticism, but it ain't just him. I think there are a lot of spots where issues are being had more than just Bobby Slowick, and I think the over the top criticism of him are pretty ridiculous. And I think he is still one of the top, I'd say top 10 play callers in the league, top 12 play callers in the league right now off the top of my head. And I think he makes this team better, obviously, with him being here. But, yes, he deserves some things, but I think there's a lot of blame to go around with the issues with the offense.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. I don't know what complaints you're necessarily referring to. Wholeheartedly agree with that. That's why, I try to preface everything when talking about Bobby Slowick.
Text like, line, Bobby is the problem this year. He can't adjust at all. That's why we are so Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, I mean, look, the third quarter was awful as a team and just as bad on the defensive side of the football as it was on the offensive side of the football. So I mean the adjustments were, I don't know if they're all adjustments, but they were the team was terrible. So whatever was done and said at halftime, after a good first half, fell by the wayside in the third quarter on both sides of the ball. And I understand. Look, I agree. Like, I'm as frustrated as anybody with the run game, and to me, that's Bobby Slowick and the offensive line. And they got to get the damn thing figured out, or Bobby's got to adjust and just not run Dari two or three times on the first drive of the opening drive of the game, right? So when it comes to the run game, I'm in Bobby's ass. Like I've had enough of it. But there's, to me, there is so much good that I have a hard time with the crazy criticism of Bobby. Because of what we watched him do last year. Like, I don't care. You win 10 games and your quarterback throws the fewest interceptions and has the most yards per game. Your offensive coordinator should be saluted in a major, major
way. You ever watch Bobby?
Dude, they won 10 games last year, and we saw him in shootouts. And we saw him play big-time football. And not one time, with the exception of maybe two games versus some of the worst run defenses in football, not but a couple of times could you ever depend on a run team, a running play to produce for you at any point last year. I mean, this is a guy that Nico Collins came out of nowhere. I know there's a lot of y'all out there that was like, oh, I always knew Nico was going to be great. I get that. In hindsight, hell, he's pretty damn good. There were previous offensive coordinators that he didn't do nothing under. I mean, he was going nowhere fast. I mean, and Bobby, whatever, sprinkled his dust on this thing, and dudes were showing out. I mean, it's hard for me to say that guy's the problem. That guy's overall, this guy sucks, or this guy can't do that. Now I'm about fed up with this run game, but I'm still at a point with Bobby where he's still. Really, one of the better offensive coordinators in this game.
Yeah, and listen, I understand the annoyance with the run game. And I think Bobby would say, "Boy, I wish I had my backs out there that I want to be able to use." And also, I wish I didn't inherit guys that we've re-signed that were a little bit tougher. I wish I had some guys. Yeah, yeah. I wish because he's not benching Laremy Tunsil. That's not even a decision for him.
Hello,
and. And so he had, you know, yesterday he has Titus Howard out, and he's got to go with a rookie who comes into the game, and Blake Fisher, who's getting his first start. My guy here said is you have to point it to the one leading the parade if there are problems. And that's why I say him and CJ are to me the top two guys. To me, I would lay a lot of it at. But I would look at it and say first quarter, he loses Nico Collins.
Didn't have Titus from the jump,
and he's got Blake Fisher, a new rookie, and Greg Russo was just working him over. So he's got to kind of deal with that. He does not have Mixon. He does not have Pierce.
Fourth running back to start the season is in at running back.
Yes, and I mean, so those are explanations. Now I do think even with that, it's got to be better than 6 points in the second half. So I do think there's something that falls with it, but there's clearly some things that. That he had to deal with before the game started and coming into the game.
Well, you know, Ron, for me,
I'd see a little bit more separation from Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs throughout the game too. Yeah. But I mean, there's a lot there that I think he and CJ are dealing with in that game. But it seems like only one of them is really getting shot.
I tell you, another thing that goes kind of unnoticed with Bobby is the. Very rarely does he get caught with his pants down. I mean, D'Amico's the same way. I think the organization is the same way. I mean, these cats are prepared, man. You know what I mean? Like these cats are, yes. and it's a lot of times it goes unnoticed, but it's I mean dude's really, really good at getting his guys prepared, putting his guys in position to win, doing more with less. And boy, has CJ ever shined underneath. I mean, we're talking about CJ. I mean, I had him at a C plus game, and he threw for 300 and something yards.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's just the late turnovers is what kind of took him down. But listen, Bob. I mean, Bob is going to be the fall guy, and you know he's. I think he understands that, and I certainly see that. But I think it's a bit ridiculous. The over criticism of Bobby Slowick with what this offense has done since he's been here. All right, coming up, we'll hear a little bit from you all. Do our best bets coming up as we got a lot going on. There's Monday Night Football tonight. There's playoffs tonight. So we'll look at that. Give you our best bets, and also be thinking about this. We haven't really talked about this yet. Do you think the Texans more won that game or the Bills more lost that game? We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here's the snap by Weeks. The spot. Here's the kick by Fairbairn. Has the distance. And it's good! Fairbairn wins it at the buzzer! The Texans beat the Bills 59 yards for the dub on H-Town Day, 23-20.
Do you think him having to say H-Town Day made him say the dub?
Yes!
Do you think when he knew he was going to say H-Town Day, that because I don't take Mark as a...
Mark's not a dub guy?
Let's get the dub. I love the emotion. Mark, he felt it, baby. He felt it. Andre somehow kept himself out. Which, you know, you normally, I was listening for the table bang or something.
Wow.
He took himself out of it.
Andre's pretty, like when he stays in mode, in like the professional mode when it's positive stuff. it's when it's, I guess he doesn't, because sometimes we hear him say, Nico, you know, he gets excited with Nico.
Nico has got them on fire, baby.
He told him to put them jerseys in the trunk, too, that one time.
Put those uniforms back in the trunk. Put them up.
I guess it's a good call. I guess he does lose it every now and then, doesn't he?
He goes through. That's what 4-1 sounds like. Mark Vandermeer on the call coming up behind us. Will be the coach's show. D'Amico Ryans, we get out early here. Right as we get done here at 5 o'clock, D'Amico Ryans. We'll be live for you on the coaches show. Also, Texans All Access comes on behind us with Mark and John there. And then Monday Night Football, Saints and Chiefs tonight. You can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. As I said, we'll hear from some of you. All right, apparently Laramie has a bone to pick. To pick with yours
Laramie.
Truly. Laramie. I'm sorry.
We got Tunsil?
They say Tunsil doesn't call
me? Not Laramie, Larry. That'd be great if Laramie called in. But no, Larry from Stafford, what's on your mind?
So I finally figured it out, mate. You're one of them old messy broads, man.
You ain't going to be calling me no broad out here.
You probably didn't have no real friends. You had all them imaginary friends because you just had to create static wherever it was, man, because you ate too many boogers or you had too many bone chips or whatever. Why in the world are you sitting up here trying to create that it's CJ?
What am I creating, Larry?
You trying to create some drama trying to make our quarterback look like he the issue when you sit over there and look at next-gen stats that talk about how horrible the Texans are on first and second down. And those are the calls that Bobby sent in. This ain't about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud 10-2 over there on Kirby, Maine, or 10-1 or whatever it is, and you trying to say he the issue? No, dog. C.J. Stroud threw for 331 yards and got us in position to win games yet again. Bobby Slowick comes in and he does these things on first down on the first series. He runs a Kumba Wale. That ain't Joe Mixon back there. That's some dumbass play calling. And we sit there every Sunday and see him do these kind of things, and C.J. Stroud bail his ass out. Mm. Here's what the issue
every
is.
Time.
We know that C.J. Stroud is inching up on your boy over there in Kansas City, and now you're starting to sweat a little bit because C.J. Stroud is playing better than Patty. Create that in the H. But I'm here to tell you, I ain't letting your ass do it, because for a second-year quarterback that's in the running for the MVP, now, this don't have nothing to do with CJ. This has everything with Bobby not being able to make them kind of adjustments he need to make. Having an elite
Larry, I know you wrote this. Now, hold on. Let me slide in here.
I ain't write nothing.
I know you wrote it, Larry. I know you wrote this. Now, let me slide in here. Let me come in here in your intermission. Hey, now, first off, I want you to stop making up things. I said that C.J. Stroud is a part of it, right? I said everybody. I said I think C.J. and Bobby Slowick have close to equal blame. In fact, I said I would give Bobby a little bit more because he is the leader overall, but CJ is the leader on the field. Now, would you say that interception yesterday, there's blame that goes to CJ Stroud? Yes, I'll answer for you. Would you say, no, because I'm going to hang up if you can't answer that. Now, would you say that fumble, him not holding the ball with ball security in the fourth quarter deep in his own end when he's got a lead, was a bit on him? Yes. Would you say that intentional grounding was a bit on him? Yes. And yes, if you could say that he is all of that, which he sure enough is, he also has the ability to change plays. He also has the ability to audible. You don't even know how many times maybe he is audibled into something that looked wrong that you're blaming on Bobby. All right? So, yes, I understand, Larry, why you are in love with C.J. Stroud. You should be. He has made you this happy. He's caused you this belief. But you know what? He can be wrong sometimes. He can be great and be wrong sometimes. I'm not blaming it all on him. I'm telling you.
You trying to make CJ out. Those plays that you just described, the intentional ground and the fumble and the interception, that's football. Those kind of things happen. But when you come out and run on first down in your own end zone into a Goomba Wale and thinking that that's how you want to start a game when you got those kind of elite dudes on the outside, we see that every week. But having said all that, you sitting up here trying to talk about your boy writing something down, and you know damn well I don't get down like that. I come off the dome because your boy know what he talking about. But I'm going to tell you this. That's all right. We're going to see them Kansas City boys, and I'm going to blame Pat for when we get in their ass.
Appreciate it. Listen, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Tyler, Clint will attest.
Wow, dude.
Yes, I get in the same things. There are people. Pat will throw a pick immediately to a corner standing by. It's clearly his fault. That's Eric Bieniemy, that call he made. All those receivers dropping the ball. It's the same thing. And I understand why many of you are in the, hey, he can't do no wrong. And why the honeymoon phase, it is understandable.
Stroud is a saint.
But did you hear that? Stroud's pick, which in the red zone, you just took points off the board like Clint described earlier. His fumble that almost cost you the game that could have given them the lead, and an intentional grounding that took you out of field goal range. Larry described as it is just football.
God bless, brother.
Hit a handoff to Dare Ogunbowale that didn't work. Now that's bad. That's just bad. That's bad play calling. When is it what Bobby does? It's just that doesn't work. It's just football. That ain't just football. No, that is the great quarterbacks know. Hey, man. I know I got 3 points in my back pocket. This puts us up at least a touchdown where they got to score a touchdown to win it. Let me not just throw the ball right in the middle of the field and not make sure that linebacker's not there. Let me make sure I have ball security and I'm holding it with two hands so I don't get stripped. And this is the only way they can get back into it. All right? Like, listen. When they score 6 points in the second half or struggle in the second half like they did against Jacksonville, CJ can't be the leader on the field and the reason why they do everything. And then when they struggle, it ain't him. Can't be. He's the one out there. Now all of a sudden, y'all act like he can't change plays.
Are you supposed to be raising your voice?
I'm not.
Are you supposed to be jumping around like that in your stool over there?
That's my boy,
you settle your ass down over here, will you?
And you hear that? Did you hear that? What I specifically said it in a manner in which you couldn't even come back and say, he's just clearly just blaming CJ.
The showman.
And every win. And what he heard, he didn't say nothing about the offensive line. He didn't say nothing about the staff. word. He didn't say nothing about Bobby. Oh, all he did was say something. And then, of course, oh, it's because you jealous that he's going to come for Pat. It's got to always be where I'm from. Get out of here. Tear his ass up, Ron. I'm just saying, CJ, the honeymoon is still rolling. I understand why. Hell, I've lived it with Mahomes. I understand why. What he has meant to this franchise. But that interception, that went on Bobby Slovic. That wasn't his decision.
Stroud's the same, man. He does no wrong in this city. We love you, CJ.
Could you imagine if Davis Mills did that intentional grounding?
Yeah, Dollar would probably sold his jersey.
Sit over there and just threw that ball smooth out of bounds. Bust open some of my.
Yeah, you need to settle down over there, man. You got to teach.
It is a Mad Dog Monday. Take you a sip.
CJ Stroud, still great. Can't throw that pick. And the world's
all right with me. Still great.
And I will do it to Mahomes, too. Mahomes has been. Mahomes has not been good this year.
It is a rough second half for the Texans. Thank the good Lord that defense. Bowed their neck and earned their check, as my man Trap said late, and then that damn right foot of Kaimi Fairbairn, baby.
Scored
59 of them.
Scored 6 points through a pick fumble inside the red zone.
Let's get it on, baby.
And an intentional grounding in a critical moment that took us out. CJ had an A second half. Really? Yeah. Clint, you're crazy. Dick Olin, I saw you too.
Tricky Dick went B plus.
Tight ends. Go blame a tight end over the quarterback. I got you too. I appreciate that ring though. All right, coming up behind us, D'Amico Ryans, the D'Amico Ryans Show, Texans All Access follows, and then Monday Night Football, Saints and Chiefs. So stay tuned right here on Sports Radio 610. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. Thanks for D'Amico Ryans, who was on. The show sort of today. I am Ron Hughley, as always. Houston, we love you, baby.
Here's the kick by Fairbairn. Has the distance, and it's good! Fairbairn wins it at the buzzer! The Texans beat the Bills!
Ka'imi noe aloha me ka ike oke kumu pa.
Houston Texans 1-0!
Cast out today! Seemed impossible.